When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. As Jim noted, I'll be your host today, Zach Clinton, and our special guest today is none other than Kirk Cameron. Kirk is an American actor, evangelist, and author, best known for his role as Mike Seaver on the 1980 sitcom Growing Pains. Born on October 12, 1970, he gained fame as a teen idol, but later shifted his focus toward Christian ministry and faith-based projects. After becoming a born-again Christian in his early 20s, Cameron distanced himself from Hollywood's mainstream and began producing Christian films such as Fireproof and Left Behind. He's also a co-founder of The Way of the Master, a ministry dedicated to evangelism alongside Ray Comfort. Additionally, he's written several books on faith, marriage, and parenting. In recent years, he's been involved in conservative and religious advocacy, promoting biblical values and culture. His work continues to influence Christian audiences, particularly in the areas of family and faith-based media. Kirk Cameron is married to Chelsea Noble, and an American actress best known for her role as Kate McDonnell on the television sitcom Growing Pains. The couple met on the set of the show and married on July 21st, 1991. Together, they have six children: Jack, Isabella, Anna, Luke, Olivia, and James. In 2024, Kirk and Chelsea Cameron relocated from California to Tennessee, seeking a community that aligns with their values of God, family, and country. I love that. Kirk, my friend, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Hey, Zach, it's good to be with you this morning.
Kirk, as we begin, I just simply wanted to congratulate you, but also thank you for the incredible work that God is continuing to do in and through your life. You're coming out of the library tour, stepping into the Strong Family, Strong Communities Church tour. We're going to dive in today to the upcoming release of your new children's television show titled The Adventures of Iggy and Mr. Kirk. Man, but up front, just a fun question. As you're continuing to speak up, to stand up, and to stand on truth for such a time as this, Kirk, what is it that drives you? Maybe what's that catalyst factor that just pushes you toward this mission each and every day?
I think the world is starving for authentic Christians, not cookie cutter, say all the right things, do all the right things Christians, because at the end of the day, the world is a mess apart from the gospel, and moms and dads who are raising kids and the next generation of humans are looking for things that are authentic and things that are genuine. In a world where so much is produced and so much is manufactured for somebody else's bottom line, masquerading as help for you and me in raising our kids and changing our country and making it great again, if we really want to see positive change that lasts, I think authentic Christianity is something that is in short supply. So for me, I like talking with people like you who want to get the message of grace and truth out to the world so that we can both honor God and bring blessing to people. And that's ultimately sort of the grid that I try to drop everything through when I'm deciding what to do with the day, whether it's being with my wife and kids, or it's taking on a new project, or talking with you. I think that if we can help to propagate authentic truth and grace, then we're on the right road.
Well, I love the authenticity that you lead with and that you live your life with and love others with as well. You know, going into the library tour zone, coming out of it the last 2 years, just standing on truth, revealing truth. I love how our producer Brian shared. He said that it was like you were going in as an investigative news reporter, going into a restaurant, not making a good health grade, and shining a camera on the dirty kitchen. Kirk, you really struck a nerve with mainstream America by doing so. What's the reaction been, and how has that really influenced now this new television show series, The Adventures of Iggy and Mr. Kirk?
So let's see, you were starting with the readings of stories in public libraries. So yeah, I learned of a company that's doing a great thing. They're called Brave Books, and they're making books for children that have a pro-God, pro-America value in each story. And it's really cool because all of the books that they've written are between kids, say like 4 years old and 9 years old, and all of the stories connect in the same universe, and all the characters know each other, and they're learning lessons about faith, hope, love, forgiveness, self-control, overcoming fear, and trusting God. And those are the values that really hit the hornet's nest when I went to about 50 woke public libraries that prefer to have drag queens reading stories to children about a different 10 commandments, about different fruits of a different spirit. And when that happened, it gave a great opportunity for people to understand that there is a war on children for their hearts and minds, and that we need to fight the good fight of faith. And there's an opportunity here to build a future for our children, both in our homes and in the public square, in the community, in the culture at large. And they jumped on board. So we're really encouraged by the reaction from people who showed up to support stories about kindness and compassion and speaking truth in love. And now we're finding creative ways to bring these storybooks to life through a children's TV show called Iggy and Mr. Kirk, which essentially is a modern day Mr. Rogers with lovable puppets like Sesame Street. Like, instead of Kermit the Frog, we've got Iggy the Iguana, and he's learning lessons alongside all the 5-year-olds who are watching the television show. And it's finally a TV show that you can feel great about your kids watching, because it doesn't just entertain them and occupy time, it's actually building their character simultaneously.
And why this matters is because, like you said, Kirk, and you've already alluded to, a lot of parents and a lot of grandparents, they're terrified of the content their children and their grandchildren are consuming on a daily basis. I've heard it said that what we consume often has a heavy influence on who we become. And you know this, in the times that we live in, a lot of our mainstream media, a lot of this online content has moved away from being educational and even entertaining, and now it's more so geared toward indoctrination, as you were mentioning. As a counselor, I see our youth and our adolescents taking a beating in this online world, in this online space, from comparison to confusion. The algorithms are continuing to target our kids. It's been a mess, but we have a duty. We have a responsibility to protect their innocence and more. Kirk, just speak to the influence of what you're seeing in Hollywood and in this mass media space, and maybe even just why this radical radical push of indoctrination has detrimentally impacted all of us, of course, but especially our kids in this season of life.
My personal thought is that many Christians have become professional whiners and complainers. And even in the framing of your question right there, there's this sense that we're the victims of a big bad culture and forces of evil and darkness that are attacking and targeting our kids. And I know what you mean because I see the darkness. I see the evil forces that are at play. But at the end of the day, we've got to shift our mindset. And instead of being defensive players trying to hold the line until the rapture gets here to save us all, I believe that we've been given a cultural mandate from God from the beginning in the Garden of Eden and repeated to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, through Jesus and all throughout Scripture. And that is a cultural mandate to stop complaining and start creating the culture. Rather than whining about everything that's bad, we need to start winning back authority and leadership in our families and in our children's education and within the halls of Congress and in the positions of leadership so that we can begin to build the world that we want for our kids. And it's having the mind shift that the gospel wins and that we're not fighting for victory against giants who are more powerful than us. We're fighting from victory because Christ has already crushed the head of the serpent. He was dethroned. All authority was given to Jesus. He was lifted up and he's drawing all people to himself. I think if we can get into the right mindset and then take all of the gifts, the community that God's given us and his commandments, we can begin to conform the external world around us to more closely match the internal freedom we feel in Christ. That's a big idea and a big shift. But if we can begin to do that, I think people will begin to jump on board a movement that sees blessing in the future rather than bondage for our children.
Man, I thought that was so good what you just said, that we need to make that transition from complaining to creating, from whining, right, to winning within the home, within our families. It's powerful.
Yeah, because I think if you came over to my house right now, Zach, and you said, you know what, bro, your house is filled with termites. You got flies everywhere, and you got weeds all throughout your backyard. And I'm like, I know. Can you believe? This must be spiritual warfare. It's all coming after us, bro. And you're like, no, I think you need to get off the couch, stop playing Candy Crush and mow the lawn, and then maybe get out some spray and start taking care of the flies and the termites. So the analogy is the culture goes bad on the watch of the family of faith. This is on us because we've been given the truth of the gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit has descended from heaven. We now are the living temple of God with Christ as the cornerstone. He says all authority has been given to him. He says he's with us and he's given us the playbook in the Bible to teach all nations all that he's commanded and to disciple our children in the truth. And God honors that. But if we're seeing things fall down around us, contra the promise of blessing for obedience to the gospel, I think we need to look in the mirror and say, Lord, are we actually doing the same old things that your people used to do where they got full of pride and complacency and turn away from you? And then all of a sudden, we're in a Romans 1 situation again, where God is like, you thought you became wise and you became dark in your hearts and then you became foolish. And I'm just giving you over to the lusts of your flesh and you can have it until you choke on it. And then eventually, maybe you turn back like the prodigal son and you say, what have I done? Lord, what have we done to our world? What have we done to our children? What have we done to our country? Please have mercy on us. Tear open the heavens and send us revival. That's what I'm praying for, is revival. And I feel the rumblings of it now because people are waking up and they're standing up, speaking up, and they're leaning in to say, let's go back to the good path.
Yes. You know, Kirk, what I'm hearing you say, too, is we can't just sit back in apathy. We have to step in and take action. We know this. Parenting is a calling. And as Dr. James Dobson would always say, it's not for cowards, right? It takes a level of intentionality. Everyone is battling for the minds, the hearts, and the souls of our kids. And the sad reality is that too often we are losing that battle within the home because of an apathetic approach, because we have a bunch of, I'll just be real, preoccupied, busy parents who rely on phones and media to become their children's primary babysitters. Jonathan Haidt put it this way in his best-selling book, The Anxious Generation: we've moved from a play-based childhood to a phone-based childhood because of digital devices. Therefore, in order to resolve this issue, I think the two things we have to figure out are connection and, like what you said, content creation. And I think there is a spirit of revival. Kirk, I don't know about you. There seems to be a hunger for holiness that you said, like, it's rumbling in our land. I'm interested, from your standpoint, being on the front line, serving in this media creation space, just what are you seeing? What are you hearing? And what has you encouraged during this season?
A friend and I were talking not too long ago, and he was pointing out that the truth that we eventually see play out in front of us, that false systems can't survive. They can't last. They ultimately will crumble under the weight of their own bravado and their own pride, because ultimately they don't have any root. The root rots when the system is bad. And Jesus talked about that. You'll know a tree by its fruit. And if the fruit of our country, the fruit of our culture is rotting, if it's twisted and bitter, ultimately, that's not the way God made for his world to be. And that kind of a system will crumble and crash. And then we start thinking, well, let's plant some new trees. How about one that's rooted in biblical truth? And then we'll have the fruit of the Spirit for our kids and our grandkids. I think people are getting there. They're recognizing that it is better for us to make stories that are about real redemption. And I'm seeing that in college campuses where kids are holding spontaneous revival meetings and in prayer groups. I'm seeing that in Hollywood, which, by the way, is not limited to Southern California. It seems to be everywhere because of technology. You and I can have a TV show right now, a podcast. We can create a film on our iPhone, and we can send that out through YouTube and distribute it to the world. And there are people who are making really, really good projects that are rooted in the right stuff. People in academia, people in the medical industry, and in the political spheres who are taking their biblical worldview and they are finding creative ways to express that solve problems. Take, for example, Riley Gaines, the collegiate swimmer who was forced to share a locker room and a bathroom with a biological male and compete against them. And she wasn't defended by coaches or by judges. Rather, they were all drinking the Kool-Aid and playing along with the party line. And she stands up to defend women and their sports and the dignity of being a female. And all of a sudden now we've got an executive order from the White House stating that there is to be no biological males in the bathrooms with the girls, that we're going to keep them safe and keep their dignity intact. Not to mention there's only two genders. So I see people standing for truth and doing it with grace.
Yes, and I feel like that's what's really pushed you into the development and the creation again of this upcoming release of this incredible new children's television show, The Adventures of Iggy and Mr. Kirk. Kirk, you know, as God is opening this door and great things are continuing to happen and you're looking forward to what he's going to do and throughout the show, obviously these early childhood developmental educational years are so pivotal in our kids' lives. This is a show that brings comfort to my heart. My kids will be watching the show. I've watched a couple of episodes already. I loved Iggy. I love you guys. Your guys' banter back and forth. It's funny. It's fun. But it is educational, rooted in biblical principles and values. Kirk, where did the idea for the show really come from? And what's the premise and the heartbeat behind it?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I started writing some children's books of virtue. And we wanted to find creative ways to bring these books and stories to life. So that was the beginning, the inspiration for Iggy and Mr. Kirk. The other inspirations, as we thought of what that might look like, were Mr. Rogers and also Sesame Street. So I play Mr. Kirk, and the TV show has some serious Mr. Rogers neighborhood vibes to it. While I don't have a cardigan sweater that I put on at the end of every episode, I got a leather bomber jacket. And while it's not Kermit the Frog or Big Bird, we've got Iggy the Iguana. And Iggy has a colorful cast of lovable puppet friends through whom he has to learn the lessons of forgiveness and kindness and trusting God and the importance of family. So it's really a rare show that not only kids love, that it ignites their imagination, it builds their character at the same time, and parents can feel good about it. They can trust it because everything in it is designed to foster a biblical worldview in your kids.
Kirk, one final question. You were on one of the number one rated shows in America for almost a decade, and America watched you grow up as Mike Seaver. You could have stayed in mainstream Hollywood and had a career there. Do you ever think about the choice you made to go this direction with your life and have any second doubts, or do you feel like God has always had his hand on your back every step of the way?
Well, I'm 55 years old now, Zach, my wife and I have raised six children. We have a grandchild, and so I have the benefit of being able to look in the rearview mirror and see what's gone on. Often it's hard to know what's happening in front of you, especially when you're young. You know, when I was on Growing Pains, my frontal lobe had not even developed completely yet. Now I've got children. And I look back and I say, God's direction in my life was always better than the map that I had drawn out for my life and career. I wanted to be a doctor. I never thought about being an actor. And that door opened up when my mom's friend suggested we go try it out. I was an atheist, and God opened a door of repentance and faith to me that led me down a road that I never thought I would go down and never wanted to go down. So I think I look back and it fills my heart with a sense of awe and gratitude that God didn't follow my instructions and like a genie grant all my wishes, but better than that, he changed my heart and gave me new desires and taught me the value of trusting in the Lord with all of my heart. So yeah, his hand's been on my back. He's been guiding me, and I'm very grateful.
Kirk, my friend, you are a blessing, and thank you just for being a servant in the advancement of the kingdom of heaven in so many lives. Kirk, where can our audience go as we wrap up to watch the show, but also to find out more about you?
If you want to follow me on social media, you can just go to my Facebook page or Instagram. You could also go to braveplus.com. So if you want to watch Iggy and Mr. Kirk, March 27th is when it launches, and you could go to braveplus.com and you can watch episodes. You can sign up for the book club and get one of these beautiful books delivered to your door every month. And you can begin to have this experience with your kids where you're both being entertained while character is being built.
Kirk, thank you for continually producing just Christ-centered, family-friendly, faith-forward content. You're a blessing again. Thanks for your bravery, your boldness, and your courage for such a time as this. We love and appreciate you. Thank you for your time and your willingness in joining us today.
Cool, Zach. Thanks for talking with me, and appreciate you and your producer, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Kirk.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for The Center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The Center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call The Center, a place of hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for The Center, a place of hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at The Center. A place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.